Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, August the 4th, coming up. Another protest has been held over plans to build homes on an orchard in Medway. A man given just 5 to 8 years to live is embarking on an epic challenge. And it was a point for Gillingham to start the new season. But first, flowers have been left at the scene of a crash in Herne Bay following the death of a motorcyclist. Lucy joins me on the podcast with more on this story. Lucy, what do we know so far?
Well, it's understood a blue Yamaha MT10 motorbike was travelling east along Reculver Road when it was involved in a collision with the junction for Terminus Drive. The bike crashed through a fence and into the front garden of a bungalow. Now, this was just after midnight on Saturday, and sadly, a motorcyclist died at the scene.
And what have the owners of the bungalow said?
Well, they've told us they were both asleep at the time of the crash and only found out what had happened when police rang their doorbell at about 20 past midnight. They were told to stay indoors, which they did, and say that neither of them went back to sleep. They've also revealed they don't plan to repair the damage straight away out of respect to the victim and his loved ones. As you mentioned at the start, lots of flowers have already been left there. You can see pictures at Kent Online. A gathering also took place last night in memory of the man who died.
What else have police told us, Lucy?
Well, they're looking to hear from anyone who saw what happened. They're particularly keen to hear from anyone who saw or knows a light-coloured car believed to have been seen in the area at the time of the collision. Anyone with information should contact the appeal line on 01622 798 538, quoting the reference ry/hg/051/25.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. Meantime, police have been investigating another serious crash, this time on the A299 Thanet Way. The road was closed coastbound from the Herne Bay slip to the Broomfield turnoff yesterday. A motorbike is understood to have been involved in a collision at around 10 a.m.
Kent Online reports.
Other top stories, and the trial of a man accused of killing a 91-year-old in an e-bike crash in Rochester may not take place for another 3 years due to backlogs. James Blackwood was injured outside his home on City Way in Rochester in July 2023 and died in hospital 3 months later. 50-year-old Clifford Cage from the Fairway was charged with manslaughter. A provisional trial date has been set for August 2028. Armed police have been called following reports of a man with a weapon near Faversham. Officers found a group of people in an orchard in Norton on Friday. They seized a BB gun and issued a 19-year-old man with a warning. A stable's been completely destroyed after catching a light near Gravesend. 4 fire engines were sent to a field near Station Road in Southfleet in the early hours of this morning. No one was injured, and it's unclear how the blaze started. Now, an MP has raised concerns about plans for a housing development on land in Rainham. An application for hundreds of homes on an orchard off Pump Lane was previously rejected, but now the land has been included in the council's local plan. When Ashaba Khans joined residents at a protest.
I was part of the local plan process when I was cabinet member for housing, but the discussions that we were having did not include this site, and therefore if this site had been included when I was cabinet member, I would have raised serious concerns then, because I don't believe that this is the right site to have that development. So as much as I support Medway having a local plan, I recognise the need for housing, I recognise the need for much needed affordable housing, it's something I fully support. I do think that we've got to think very, very carefully about certain sites, and this particular site is one that I cannot support. I think having a roof over your head should be a right, and that's something I support. I do have concerns about this site, particularly the impact on the road infrastructure. It's a number of homes and the roads just aren't designed to cope, and I don't believe that the mitigations that have been put in place for this particular development suitably will address that issue. I've also got concerns around the environmental impact of the development and the proposals on this particular site, as well as the risk of urban sprawl. So if this development, setting that precedent for wider development across this particular area, which I don't think will be able to cope with the level of housing that is proposed on this particular site.
The council council leaders told us that changes to funding elsewhere means they're having to reconsider the land. A consultation is ongoing. Meantime, a meeting's going to be held later to discuss plans for 350 homes near a Kent village. Land in Allhallows has been set aside for the development. Residents say the area is already struggling with a lack of infrastructure.
Kent Online News.
Another £100 million is being put into tackling small boats crossing the Channel to Kent. It's to support the government's One In, One Out pilot scheme with France. For every person sent back, an asylum seeker with links to Britain will be allowed to come to the UK from Europe through a safe route. A Margate mum who's battling cancer says she's stuck in a nightmare legal battle to evict a tenant from her former family home. Kelly Eastland needs £60,000 to pay for pioneering therapy in Germany, but says she's unable to reclaim her house to be able to sell it. She's hoping a new possession order will be granted, but says it could take weeks to evict the tenant. She's now set up a GoFundMe page to raise money for the treatment instead. We're due to hear from Kelly in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Workers have been accused of cutting down a tree where baby birds were nesting in Mepham. A resident on Harville Street says live chicks were found in nearby woodland after the branches were felled last week. Contractors were carrying out work on behalf of the landlord. Police are now investigating. A Medway woman's been sharing her experience as a victim of forced adoption after facing decades of misery and guilt. 70 years ago, Margaret Fisher's mum was forced to give her away at birth after falling pregnant following an affair. Well, Margaret herself went on to have a baby at the age of 15 and was also coerced into giving up the child. She's since made contact with her daughter. You can read the fascinating full story on the homepage of the website. Now, next today, a Medway man with incurable prostate cancer is setting off on a 588-mile walk as he campaigns for a national screening programme. Paul Dennington was told in March 2021 he has 5 to 8 years to live. He set off yesterday from near Newcastle, where he was born, and will spend the next 36 days visiting key landmarks of his life. I caught up with Paul before he started the challenge.
I just wanted to have a big challenge, something that was a bit creative, might grab people's attention. And I guess, in essence, stick two fingers up at the prostate cancer by proving, you know, nearly 5 years in that I can do it. But yeah, it will be challenging because part of my medication on the hormone therapy I'm on means that I have virtually no testosterone. As part of that, so that does obviously impact your kind of muscle strength and sometimes your energy levels and things. And I'm 60 later on this year as well, so I think there's a few factors, age as well, creeping in, that are going to make it quite a tough challenge.
I know you've got a fantastic support network around you with your wonderful family. What do they think of the challenge, and how are they supporting you en route?
They think I'm mad as well. I'm starting to think they're probably right. But my wife, Christine, bless her, is my logistics support. So she's with me for all 36 days and will be driving me around, getting me to the start and finish of each day, getting me back to the hotels and sorting out my kit and anything else that I might need en route that crops up.
You've been keeping yourself incredibly fit. I know last time we spoke, you were out in Spain, I think, having a lovely holiday, but also doing some activities to make sure you were keeping yourself fit. Do you think that's helped you physically and mentally as you deal with the disease and the challenges that it throws your way?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a great believer in positive mindset. And I think the exercise is part of that as well. So keeping yourself strong, I think, is important. I think there is some evidence starting to come out around the world that exercise and regular exercise actually helps you when you're going through a cancer diagnosis. So there is some evidence there. But I mean, most importantly, that all helps give me a positive focus. And that, I think, when you're fighting an illness, is so, so important, and it helps you have more energy. It helps you make the most out of every day. So I think, yeah, overall, it's just a good thing to do. And, you know, you don't all have to be mad and do kind of 15, 16 miles a day. But I think just getting out there and getting regular exercise of some kind is just so beneficial to your mental health, even whether you have cancer or not.
No, you're going to be raising an awful lot of money. You already have done as well for Prostate Cancer UK. What difference will that make? I'm sure they're still doing loads of research, aren't they? And you mentioned about supporting men and their families as well.
Absolutely. So Prostate Cancer UK, I think a wonderful charity that they have. And I've used them myself, particularly at the start of the journey. So when you're looking for information to understand what you're going through, to understand what the choices are, etc., they have a wealth of information on their site that is completely free of charge. So it's brilliant at the start of the journey. They have a free nurse service where the nurses are specialists in prostate cancer. It's free phone, it's anonymous. So you can go there and ask them anything that is a concern or information that you need. So they provide that. And then I think the other thing for me that drove me to the charity was the research side. So they do invest in research projects. So whether that be into screening, into better quality treatments with less impact on people, or better treatments for people with advanced cancer like myself, that kind of gives you hope that across the years that you're surviving, that something else will come online. So yeah, have a good variety of reasons that money makes a huge difference.
He's raising money for Prostate Cancer UK, as you heard, and is due to finish at Hempstead Valley Shopping Centre on September the 7th.
Kent Online reports.
A nursery near Longfield has suddenly closed following concerns children may be at risk of harm. Abacus in New Barn was downgraded to inadequate after an Ofsted inspection found issues with staffing and child supervision. Registration has now been suspended. Bosses say they're working hard to address the concerns raised. Protesters have unveiled a giant Palestinian flag at a famous Kent landmark. It's nearly 50 feet wide and was spotted at the Folkestone White Horse on hills above the town yesterday. Campaigners say they want to show solidarity with people in Gaza. There are concerns over the future of a popular market in Rochester due to a potential increase in the cost of running it. At the moment, organisers have been exempt from paying a business tax, but it could now be introduced and backdated. Rochester City Centre Forum say they wouldn't be able to afford the £45,000 bill. Next weekend's event is due to go ahead as planned. A Rochester dog owner faces a hefty bill for surgery after it was discovered his pet, would you believe, is a hermaphrodite. Lincoln has been suffering from a number of health problems in recent months, and scans found he had both male and female reproductive organs. Well, Mark Goldings told us about the moment he was told about him.
Every single vet has been to see Lincoln. It's like, right. I said, what is up with him? She goes, well, there's no really easy way of saying this. He's a hermaphrodite. And that means he's got both male and female sexual organs. He has two ovaries, a womb. He did have testicles. They've been removed. Yeah. And he's actually got both genetic sides of being a male and a female dog, which is very, very, very rare. Oh, great. So don't worry, he's fine. It's not going to be an issue at the moment, but we need to do a hysterectomy. And well, I actually started laughing. So this is bizarre. This is a male dog having a hysterectomy. Does the two words don't go together? She goes, no, he's fine. It's just that if in later life, this is going to become an issue.
The operation is set to cost around £7,000. A fundraiser has been set up to help pay for the treatment. A former bank in Faversham is going to be turned into a new tap house. The Lloyds building on Court Street has been empty for several years. The landlord says they could have turned it into a vape shop or charity store in minutes, but they wanted to wait for a business that will enhance the area. Time and Tide Brewing will be taking over, serving food and craft beer. Sir Keir Starmer has been pictured at an Indian restaurant in Kent. The Prime Minister had a meal at Turmeric Square in King's Hill over the weekend. Staff have described it as a day to remember. And finally, a 12-year-old boy from Kent has created a guide for Ashford similar to the Transport for London tube map. Why school pupil Chester Chan hopes it'll help people understand the geography of the town. It showcases attractions such as a designer outlet in Victoria Park, and there are a total of 39 stops which go out as far as Pluckley.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it was a point for Gillingham at the weekend to start the new season. It finished 1-1 at Accrington Stanley on Saturday. The Gills fought back from a goal down, but it was a home defender actually who turned in a corner to level things up. Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to us after the final whistle.
We had a style we wanted to employ today, you know. We tried to get down the sides of them. I thought we did it well in the first half. deep midfield runs, which was really good. Some great play in the first half. But second half, I thought we were a little bit more messy, a little bit more direct. And to be fair, a lot landed on their central defender, Wilson. You know, we kept in it. So I had to change it. They went 1-0 up. You know, we didn't lock out the defence very well, and he's got in and scored, and we've got to make sure that we're better at that, you know. And that's learning for me. That's great for me, you know. Second half, getting a bit tired, maybe switch off. So we got to work on that. But the way the boys fought to get back into the game, thoroughly deserved, you know. I mean, you know, we had corners. It wasn't a game of great quality today, you know. It wasn't. I understand that fans will be going, oh, we've got to play more, and I know we will. But when you come to Accrington Stanley, you know you know these are one of the lower budgets in the league. They'll scrap, they'll fight, they'll do anything they can, and that is a massive credit to them. That really is. They've got some good players, but you have to match the fight. And I'm proud to say we're taking a point away. So many teams will come here and not get anything because of the way they play. You know, they've got some quality on the break. They've got a solid defence, you know, and it's hard to penetrate. And we're pleased to take a point away, you know. The fans were fantastic, you know, the travelling support. I mean, 500 plus, you know, and just to go over there at the end and the cheer when the Manzas put the corner in, you know, was, just brilliant. Thank you for that. You helped us get that point today. And like I say, I thought we were decent in spells first half, and then there was a 20-minute spell second half where Accrington were on top of us. Got to admit it, you know, they were on top of us. So the changes then probably gave us a new sort of impetus, and big Josh Andrews coming on as a positive, Marcus Wiley coming back into the team as a positive, you know. Nev playing and playing as long as he did. Bradley Dack looks as fit as he's ever been, you know. Got a lot of positives from today. So, yeah, looking forward to building it now.
Midfielder Armani Little also gave us his reaction to the match.
Coming here is always a tough place. I think the teams always come here and have a real tough game. It's always a fight here. You've got to win your second balls, and they play with a real fast tempo and get the ball forward. So I think we dealt with defending that, and we stood firm as a team. I'm happy with that. First game of the season is always cagey. It's always fast tempo. We know we need to be a bit more, have that bit of quality in the final third, and just be a bit more relaxed and a bit calmer when we're in them positions. So that will come during the season. Obviously, it's the only first game, so we'll build on that and we'll work during the week to get that right.
On to cricket, and the final test between England and India was on a knife edge at the start of today's play. The hosts needed just 35 runs to win the five-match contest at the Oval 3-1, but defeat would have seen India snatch a two-all draw. England were due to resume on 339 for six. Kent Zach Crawley scored 14 runs in their second innings. We'll bring you the result of that game in tomorrow's podcast. And same with cricket. Kent are playing a warm-up game later as they prepare to get their One Day Cup campaign underway. The Spitfires are taking on Norfolk in Norwich. Their first match in the One Day Cup is against Sussex on Thursday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.